I'm so sorry. I have no idea why this is affecting me the way it is. But I can't help it. I don't have my lesson tonight from Matthew. Had full intentions of studying today like I always do on Wednesday, and I hit the hospitals early, and then I got hit with this deal with Melissa, and it's been an all-day thing, and so I kept thinking I would get loose to come study, and I couldn't. And then, of course, there in the afternoon when she was actively dying, I wanted to be there with her, so I wasn't able to put together that, but I got some notes out we'll go over. I think it'll be helpful to all of us, and I so apologize. It's a rare thing for me to not be able to control that any better than that. But let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. We have here in starting in verse 10, familiar verses that talking about the armor of God. And I'm not going to take time to read that whole text, but I think you're familiar with it. Breastplate of righteousness and all the helmet of salvation and all those things. We've studied that before, but I don't want to focus on that as much as those things are all good and they're important, but those things really are not magical. They're not mechanical. They don't just automatically produce victory in our life. They have to be utilized and applied by prayer. And the Word of God in verse 18 tells us, following very right on the end of that, the armor of God, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're just going to talk just a few minutes about the importance of prayer and appropriating all of these things, not just the armor of God, but all the things God has for us. It's important that we learn to how to pray and how to apply these things through or utilize these things, if you will, through our prayers. And so verse 18, one more time, I'll read it. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so notice, first of all, it says all prayer. We have to think about the fact that there are several aspects of prayer. They're all important, and when it comes down to spiritual warfare, there's none more important than what's mentioned there, supplication. In fact, we find that word in that one verse twice, and supplication just simply means an expression of a need, okay? When we go to God to express our needs for His help, the greatest thing that accomplishes, I think, okay, this is my opinion, is we're not informing God of what we need, okay? He already knows that. But it's an expression of our dependence upon Him. We're telling God that we know that we need Him when we take things to Him. He knew it already, but when we go to Him, it's expressing to Him that we realize our dependence upon Him and that we know that we need these things, and we know that the only way we're going to get these things is if we go to Him. And so supplication speaks volumes to God about the condition of our heart. It really says, God, I know I can't do this without You. It says, God, I can't do this on my own. I need Your help. If the battle is going to be won, it's going to have to be through You. And that's the sort of things that our supplication expressed to God. And nothing pleases God more than a dependent child. He wants to know that we're dependent upon Him. So supplication is definitely a part of our prayer life. But notice it also, it says, again, all prayer. There's more things to prayer than supplication. There's confession, thanksgiving, intercession, praise, adoration, petitions. And so all of these things are good. Any kind of prayer is good. Private prayer, spontaneous prayer, public prayer, planned prayer, prayer meetings, formal prayers, informal prayers, short prayers, long prayers. It doesn't matter, as long as our prayers are with the right heart and with sincerity and reverence, of course. We want to go to God with reverence. It's just any time that we pray in any capacity, as long as it's in the right heart, desiring to seek God, it's good. And so we can pray on our knees. We can pray standing. We can pray laying in bed. We can pray driving down the road. We can pray when we're in the middle of a situation. We can even pray when we're in the middle of a conversation. You can take, say, a mental prayer, and I've done that a lot of times, in the midst of something like, God, I need you. You know, I can't, this deal's not going well, you know, kind of deal. And so we can pray wherever and whenever about whatever we feel is important that we need to express to God. All prayer is needful and will be blessed. And then there's the question, how often should we pray? That verse tells us, pray always. Now, we know we're familiar with the verse out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing. And then Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 tells us that the early church continued steadfastly in prayer. And so the whole idea is just when we use the word ceasing, we think, well, how do you pray continually? How do you pray without stopping, in other words? And that's not really what the word ceasing is trying to communicate to us. There's really, it's just saying that there's no time that's not good for prayer. There's no time that we shouldn't at least be God conscious, okay? Whether we're actually in active verbal prayer or active mental prayer, it's just that we're always conscious of God, and there's really no prescribed times of prayer in the New Testament for New Testament Christians. There's nothing that says we should pray at this particular time of day or anything like that. It's just always, all times are appropriate for prayer, and so we don't need to try to bind ourselves to some kind of legalistic, well, I must be praying at this time for this long, or I must make sure that I have these patterns in my prayer. I don't think God ever meant for us to block ourselves into something like that, because if you do lock yourself into legalistic ideas about praying, the first thing you know is you're praying with meaningless repetition. You know, you're just going through the motions, and that's not what God wants at all. And so it just simply praying without ceasing, and of course here in this verse saying pray always, is just the always being aware of our need for God and surrendering to Him, just being conscious of His presence. Let me just kind of maybe try to illustrate that to you for a moment. If you and I were, if we were traveling in a car alone, we'd pretty much do our own thing, right? We're on a trip. We're alone. Nobody's with us. We're not catering to that person. We'll stop when we want to stop. We'll rest when we want to rest. We'll take what route we want to take because it's up to us. We're the only one traveling in the car. If we saw something interesting and we wanted to stop and observe it, that we could. If we saw something interesting we would just keep it in our head. We wouldn't make any comments because there's nobody else in the car and this sort of thing. If we had a concern or a question about things, we would keep it to ourselves because, again, we don't have anybody else in the car, okay? You're just pretty much alone, and you're just doing your own thing, and you're really only conscious of what your desires or your thoughts are within that car. But if we had somebody traveling with us, it would be a whole different story, right? When you got somebody traveling with you, especially if it's somebody you're pretty acquainted with, and I can't stand to travel, no offense to anybody, but I do not like to travel with people that I'm not close to because I don't want to spend 8 hours trying to awkwardly entertain somebody I'm not real familiar with. And I don't know whether you feel that way, but I try to not ever take trips with people that I'm not pretty close to. And of course, most of y'all, I would say, well, I'm close enough to. But anyway, if you're with somebody that you're well acquainted with and the two of you are in a car, then everything you did and everything you said would be with a awareness of the other person, correct? Okay, you would be considerate of when you're going to stop, considerate where they wanted you to stop. If you saw something that was interesting, you would comment perhaps. You say, "Oh, that's a. Did you see that Corvette? You know, do you maybe comment on the landscape or whatever? This sort of thing. Decisions would be made with that person in mind. And though you wouldn't engage maybe continually with that person, there would be a lot of moments of silence, but there would be little interactions during the whole trip. Is that right? Sure it is. And so you're conscious of that person and the whole time during that whole trip, okay? Well, think about this. God is omnipresent, which simply means he's everywhere at all times, okay? He's always with you and I in all of our thoughts and all of our actions and our decisions and our choices and our words should be carried out with that awareness. God is always with us, okay? He's there. And so we recognize the fact that he's there. He has desires that he wants from us. If we're making decisions, it's with a consciousness that we'd want them to line up with what he wants, okay? He's our passenger, so to speak. And we would really want him to have input on the decisions that we make. And so that's kind of the ideal about praying always, or praying without ceasing and this sort of thing. We may not be involved in literal outright prayer, but we're simply keeping him in our thoughts, and his participation and his presence in our life is something that we're always aware of, okay? And so when it says pray always, that's something to keep in mind. And then he says in verse 18 to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit is to pray simply meaning you're under the leadership of the Spirit. And this is an area that I think we all neglect to a certain degree. The Holy Spirit of God is always with us. He lives within us, okay? And he will impress upon you and I, if we'll let him, he'll impress upon us things we need to pray about. I've gone into prayer before and not even really knowing what to say. And I've just begun to ask the Holy Spirit to do two things. Pray for me, Holy Spirit, because the Bible says he does that. And number two, impress upon me what to pray about. And he certainly will do that. The Holy Spirit of God will give us, he's the third person of the Trinity, so that means he has all the power, all the knowledge, and all the presence that God the Father and God the Son has, okay? And so if we're willing to cooperate with him, he will lead us in our prayer, and he will impress upon us particular issues, particular needs. He'll show us our sins, and so we can confess them. If we'll let him, he will really clean us up and make us what he wants us to be through prayer. The Bible says in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's really what we're asking the Holy Spirit to do when we're praying, okay? To give us the burden that you want us to have. If it's a burden for another person, bring them to my mind. Lay upon my heart what I need to be praying about, and these sort of things, and then we can incorporate whatever he impresses upon us into our prayers. And all, by the way, he also can impress upon us scriptures, particular verses that we want to mention in our prayers. You know, God likes us to quote scripture to him. We're not impressing him by the fact that we have his scripture memorized, but we're showing him that we know his word and we're claiming his word. And when we quote scripture to God, it's saying, man, he knows enough to know what my word says, and that carries weight with God. I believe that, okay? And then he goes on to say in verse 18, watching thereunto with all perseverance. The idea of watching thereunto has the connotation of alertness, awareness, okay? Perseverance, of course, carries the idea of persistence. And this is another area that we fall very short in oftentimes in our prayer life, is we don't pray, take that command seriously enough, that we pray for something, we'll make a short prayer about something, and then just forget about it. Maybe not even pray about it again. If it has, we maybe not keep tabs whether the prayer even got answered, okay? And, you know, we've prayed for Marcus Lopez, and now he's out of the hospital. We acknowledge that tonight, okay? Marcus got out of the hospital, okay? Well, it'd be important for us to do that in our own prayer lives. Okay, I've been praying for so-and-so, and now he's out of the hospital. God, thank you for answering that prayer and this sort of thing. And so we don't need to pray about something and then forget it. We need to see if we get our answer. And if we don't get our answer, if we haven't got it yet, then we should persevere. We should persistently keep bringing that prayer before God. And I see this at work in my own life sometimes, is just keeping a running account of what God has answered. If I'll be conscientious of it, it brings joy to my life, and it reminds me of how powerful a Lord that I'm serving. James 4:3 says this. He says, "You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, and you consume it upon your lust." I'm not talking about sending up prayers that are selfish and then waiting and see if God answers them. I'm talking about sending up prayers that would be in line with His will, that would be in line with the well-being of other people, other believers, and this sort of thing, and keeping track. I don't recommend we pray for selfish things and then try to keep track to see if God gives them to us, okay? That's not what I'm implying at all. But prayers that would line up with the will of God. And God's Word teaches us persistence and importunity, which is a fancy word to saying keep at it. Okay, keep at it. He wants to see how serious we are sometimes. If we pray for something and never ask again, then we weren't very passionate about it, were we? But when we pray importunately, as the scripture says in Luke chapter 11, then it's showing God that, hey, He's serious business about that. Let me read this to you out of Luke chapter 11, and then we'll wind it up in just a moment. It says, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is on his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed.'" That's his first problem. He had his children in bed with him, okay? Never do that. He says, "I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," in other words, he just keeps knocking, "his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And God's just simply saying, Jesus in that analogy is just like that guy coming to the door and knock, knock, knock. "I'm not going away till you give me a loaf of bread for my friend." God wants us coming to Him, knock, 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 through prayer. "God, I want this. I want to see this happen in this person's life. I want to see this come to pass. I'm not going to leave you alone about this, God." And that shows Him that we're passionate about that request, and that passion will be honored and blessed, as opposed to a one-time, "Well, God, I want this," and He never hears from us about it again. We weren't very passionate about it, were we? Because we're only asking one time, certainly it must not be a great priority in our life. Okay, there's more there, but these are the notes that I had, and we'll go ahead and close with that. I appreciate you guys and your patience with me, and we'll go ahead and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Please pray for Annie Espinoza because I don't really look for her to come off that ventilator, and so we'll be having some kind of service for her. Some of you may not remember exactly who Annie is. When she comes, she sits back here, right back here in front of Beverly Frazier. She is Jim Torres's sister, and so she's been involved with us a long time. She just doesn't get here very often. She lives in Lubbock. Okay? So anyway, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer and dismiss, and I hope you all have a good evening. See you back here on Sunday. Mike Hoff, will you lead us in prayer, please?